Happy Yisro Chag, all. Today's daf in Mesechet Makot, brought to you from Yerushalayim. And we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah. So now we're up to the place where we have to discuss the Mot HaKohen HaGadol, which is the only time that the person who was sent into an Ir Miklat is able to leave that Ir Miklat. What kind of Kohen Gadol is able, in his death, to provide an exit for an individual who is in Golas? So the Pashtas in the Pasuk, when you read it, it says, Beferish there, Mashuach B'Shemen HaMishcha, as we'll see. And yet the Mishnah explains, Echad Mashuach B'Shemen HaMishcha, Ve'echad HaMeruba B'Bgadim, Ve'echad She'avar Mimishichato, Machzirin Et Harotzeah. It's three different types of Kedusha, of the Kohen Gadol, that is able to provide, as we'll see, it actually provides a kapora for the individual who's in Golos, and he's able to be Yotze. The simplest one is the Kohen who became the Kohen Gadol through the most powerful of the Kedushas, which is the Kedusha of the Shemen HaMishcha that Moshe Rabbeinu made. But after the time that the Shemen HaMishcha was hidden, by Yoshio HaMelech, who understood that the end of the Beis HaMikdash was coming, and he hid the Aron HaBris, and so on. So at that point, the actual wearing of the Shmoinu Begodim of the Kohen Gadol was enough to provide Kedusha, and that too is in his death, that would be enough to be Matir, the Machzir, I should say, the Retzeach, and even someone who is Avar Mimishichato. Now, Avar Mimishichato was talking about, let's say the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur became Tameh, so we always had the Kohen that was appointed to take his place, and he becomes the Kohen Gadol on the spot, on that day, he wears the Shmoneh Begadim, and after the original Kohen Gadol becomes Tahor, then the new Kohen Gadol is not allowed to do Aveda at all. Because he's actually a Kohen Gadol, Mitzad Hadin, he can't go down from this Kedusha, because Malin Bekedesh Ven Meridin. But on the other hand, we cannot have a situation where we're going to have two people in the same situation of Enshe Malachim Mishtamshim Beketer Echad. We know what's going to happen there. And so because of that, he's considered to be the Kohen Sha'avar. And in this case, we're talking about Avar Mishichuto. In all of these cases, in his death, he would be Marzir de Ratzeach. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, there's also a fourth case, and that is a Mashuach Milchama Marzir de Ratzeach. So even the Kohen who wasn't a Kohen Gadol, but he was Mashuach B'Shemen HaMishcha, but he was Mashuach for a particular purpose, to be the one that's Medaber El Ha'am when the Yotze the Milchama, even in his death, the Ratzeach would be Chayzer. Lefichach, now because the freedom of the individual in Golas depends on the death of these Kohanim. Lefichach imotehem shekohanim misapkot lehamichya v'chsud kedei shelo yitpalalu al bneihem shiyamutu. So the mothers of the Kohanim Gedolim used to give the people who were in Golas all types of things. They would give them clothing. They would knit sweaters for them, you know, for Hanukkah. They would give them all types of delicious rugelach and cookies, because they wanted them to look upon them kindly, in order that they not daven that their children should drop dead, because they're waiting to go out of prison, essentially, by the death of their children. Tomorrow we'll talk about the question of why their tefillas would be effective. Anyway, minani mile. So how do we know that these three or four are considered to all be the equivalent of the Mashuach, Kohen Gadol Mashuach. Omer of Kana, if you take a look at the Pasuk, you're right that the Pasuk says, Beferish, that it's only Hishiva Otoi, Dabrim, because Tosh and Hashema, Ve'yashav Ba Admot HaKohen HaGadol Asher Mashach Oto B'Shem HaKodesh. Now it does say the Kohen that dies is the one that was Mashuach with the Shem HaMishka. So how do we know that it includes all of them? So, because at the beginning of the Pasuk, when it says, El Ir Miklato Asher Nashama V'Yashav Ba Admot HaKohen HaGadol, and then it repeats, Ki Be'ir Miklato Yeshev Admot HaKohen HaGadol, And there's yet another pasuk that says, V'acharei mot ha-kohen ha-gadol. So then he is yochozer to the place where he comes from, to the place that he was originally from, to Achuzat Avotav. So that means three times we mention the Kohen Gadol. So that means there's three types of Kohanim Gadolim that are going to be able to die in order to be enable him to leave. Now, the third mention is actually in the pasuk that Aser is taking kofar. So that in the same way that you cannot pay money to get out of a psak bezdin when it comes to execution, it also says, V'lo tikhu kofar lanu selim miklato. You cannot accept money from a person who had to run to an ir miklat lashuv b'lashevet ba'aretz ad mot ha-kohen ha-gadol. So there, I mean, it seems to be an agav reference, but the fact is that it repeats there yet another shiva due to death of a kohen gadol. So it's clearly three different types. And where does Rabbi Yehuda get the idea that there's actually four, and that even a kohen mashuach mochaba is allowed, or in his death, he actually would be magzir ratzeach? That's because we have yet another pasuk. Now, it's true that it doesn't say kohen gadol there, but it does say lashuv lashevet baretz admot ha-kohen. So from there, we learn that there is another kohen, and that is the one that's able to be, apparently, he's a kohen. We don't want to call him kohen gadol because he isn't, but he's a kohen of Mashuach, from Mashuach Milchama. And the Tanakama, why doesn't he hold that that's a ribui? Because since it doesn't say Admot HaKohen HaGadol, it says Milokativ HaGadol, so then it's a reference to HaKohen, one of the previously learned Kohanim. So there's only three, not four, according to the Tanakama. Lefichach imotehem shel Kohanim, and it says that that's why the mothers of the Kohanim were going to make sure, or try to make sure, that these people wouldn't daven, that their children would die by being kind to them, knitting them sweaters, and so on. So what does this mean? That time in Lomatzlo, Lomatzlo Maise, so what really is dependent on the tefillah of the Rotzrim, and if the mothers would actually, the killers would actually daven, that these mothers' children should die, so they would die. I mean, like, why is that important? Bichlal, the Aktiv, doesn't it say in Mishlei, Katzipor la'nut, kidror la'uf, kein kilalat chinam lo tavo. In the same way that you've got a bird flies across the screen, or you've got a drawer, you know, a certain type of, I think they translated it as swallow. But whatever, it's a certain type of birds that are found all over, that just goes by. That's what it's like to curse somebody. Big deal. It doesn't make any difference because there's no basis for it. So why should the Kohen Gadol die just because the Reitzrim daven that he should die? I mean, it's not their fault, but he's there. They didn't do anything. Omar, who's Abba? Mi Pirkei the Rava Shmieli? I actually heard once from a shir by Rava that he is actually at fault. Shayalem levakesh rachamim al doran velo bikshu. Apparently, these Kohanim, they all were in such a position that in their tefillahs, especially the Kohen Gadol, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, on Yom HaKippurim, so we know how choshev that tefillah is. We talk about it in our tefillahs every year on Yom Kippur. So these people are in a position that their tefillahs would have made a tremendous impact. Since apparently that they didn't do that, so then that means that the Torah is saying to us that these people, if it's dependent on their death, there's a reason for that, that these people actually are, in a sense, responsible. Now, Ike de Masne, Kideshi et Palalo Abenem Shalo Yamutu. There's some who dafka learn that they should daven that he shouldn't die because of the fact that they are there and their being there is a constant taina against these Kohanim Gedalim. So if the Reitzrim themselves will daven that he doesn't die, so then that's already a schus that's made for him. And in this way, we ask, Taima de Matzlo, what, did they need to daven? But if they wouldn't be davening for his benefit, so the Kohen Gadol would die. I mean, understand, why in the world is it dependent on murderers? My havile lameva. So, Acha Amrinan, in Bavel, the way they talk about this, when one person is punished for something that another person has done, remember the story of Tuvia Chata, the Zigud, Minge, that was the whole Maisa that we had back in Sakrim, where Zigud had come to Rav Papa, and he told Rav Papa that Tuvia is a bad boy and he did bad things. So Rav Papa went ahead and he tied up, in Besdin, of course, and he tied up Zigun and he gave Malkus to Zigun. So, Taina, I don't understand. I'm coming to tell you that Tuvia was the one who did something wrong and you're beating me up. Rav Papa said to him, listen, you're an aid echad, so all you're doing is being by Tzishemra, speaking Lashon Hara about this person, so therefore you're the one that has to be beaten up. So because of that, it became like a saying that where someone has some element of responsibility because of the way that he related to the other person, so that became a saying. Whenever one person suffers in a way that's like much more powerful, but Lomai said there's a marker for it. But in Bavel, they say, in Eretz Yisrael, they say, that wasn't where the Maisa was, because Rav Papa was in Bavel. But over here in Eretz Yisrael, they say something that goes much further back. Shechem, he went ahead and had all the fun with Dina, right? But everybody else has got to go and cut themselves and be sick for days and so on. So Shechem does. If sure, Shechem has the fun. And Mavgai was the typical Kanani, would be like saying, and Muhammad gets beaten, you know. So Umavgai goes here, he's got to go cut himself. So it's the same thing over here. Does that make sense? And here in this version we have, yes, Omar Usab, Ami Pirke the Rovish, Miami, Shayala Mavakesh Rachami Madoran Velo Bikshu. Of course it makes sense in the way that the Kainim Gedalim are on some level responsible for the fact that such a Maisa happened. There was a story of a person who was killed by a lion, and it was in three parsaot of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi's home, and Eliyahu Hanavi didn't come to Seder to learn with Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi for 3 whole days because of that. Because he viewed Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi as being responsible. Apparently, he didn't have enough kavona in his tefillah, and he didn't care enough to protect the area around him, that somebody should be killed by a lion. So the Kohen Gadol is therefore responsible. You see, that an Adam Gadol who has a keach tefillah and is in a particular location or in a particular door has a responsibility on a lesser scale for that location, for someone who's not a public figure like a Kohen Gadol, and for the entire door, if he's a Kohen Gadol. Omer Avira Amarav. Targo over here, the way that something can happen to a person for not exactly a direct connection between one thing and another, but the truth is that over here, you never know if one of those rotzchen, you know, may even be a person who's a Talmud Chacham. And the truth is, Kilalat Chacham afilu b'china mibah. In general, you can learn that when someone says something, it's possible that it doesn't need necessarily to reflect something wrong that was done. Because consider what happened. Let's say you make a t'nai, right? So when you say, I'm only upset if you do such and such. So we see this exact maisa happened with Achitofel. Famous Maisa B'Sha'a Shekara David Shitin. So David HaMelech was doing excavations. He was preparing for the Beis HaMikdash. And this means that apparently David did those excavations very early on, because this is talking about Achitofel's time, and the Maisa in which he actually dug and prepared the Beis HaMikdash, as far as we know, when did he buy the Mokom HaMikdash that would l'chora allow him to be digging it out, and that's when the Malach stood over. That was much later. So apparently you see from here that David HaMelech had actually arranged and knew, because of his limud with Shmuel HaNavi, when they worked out the Mokom HaMikdash, he apparently already had a connection with Arav Nahyavusi, and he must have bought the rights to at least prepare the way for a Beis HaMikdash at that early time. So he was Korashiti, and you remember here it doesn't give over the whole story, but remember that there was this stone that said on it, don't touch me, and of course he does, and he pulls the stone up, and the Tahom starts coming up, and the welcome of the Beis HaMikdash, of course that's where the Mayim Chayim Lasid Lava is going to be Yotze, exactly from that place, which comes from the Tahom, and then it becomes this immense river very powerful stream that's described in the Navi that brings water and fertility to all of Eretz Yisrael and all of the expanded Eretz Yisrael. Iran's wondering where its water is going. You know, we'll be replacing that when the time comes. But in any event, he touches that and the home starts coming up. And Boilem Mishpata Alma, there was going to be a new Mabul because there was no limit at that point because there wasn't the Beis HaMikdash and it wasn't the time. So David wanted to know if it would be Mutter, Maulich, Tov Shema Chasva, Umizda. Can I write the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a piece of cheres? I'll throw it into the Tahom, and that way it will stop. The Lake Vaduchta, it'll make it stay in its place. But maybe the Shem Hashem will be erased by the water. You're allowed to write a Shem Hashem if it's going to be erased. So nobody had anything to say. Like a Dharma, like needed. Amar, so David said, somebody who knows what the halacha is here and is not saying it should just strangle himself to death, right? And that's exactly what happened to Achitofel in the end, that he committed suicide and hung himself. But at that point, David already had feelings, apparently, about Achitofel and knew that Achitofel would rather make him look like a fool and then come to be the knight in shining armor who comes and saves the world. This is what Achitofel always does. He did the same thing later on, which was by the time of the Peretz Beuza. So anyway, so Achitofel was Nasser Kavachomer Ba'atzma. Amar, Umar Lazor Shalom Ben Ishlish Omra Torah Shem Hishnichtav Bekidusha Yimoche Al Hamayim Luchol Olam Kulo Lo Kol Shekein. So he saw this as being similar to the case of the Saita. And, of course, it ends up actually being similar in the sense that the Saita ends up, if she doesn't die from the Mayim, the Me'ama Orim. So what happens? She becomes more fertile. And because of this Maisa, as we pointed out, the earth became more fertile. This was the source of the 15 Shiramalais, where each one of those Shiramalais brought the water table higher so that Eretz Yisrael would be more fertile. Anyway, there's a lot of elements over here that connect to the idea of the relationship. I mean, this is the Mokam HaMikdash, after all. It's the place of the relationship between Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this, in a sense, David HaMelech's tampering over here was similar to being alone with someone who's going to tamper with you, but it didn't end up sleeping with you. So it's very similar. The whole idea is similar to the story of the Saita. And Achitofel said, look, if for just a private family, for one home, you're allowed to write the shame and erase it. So, and that's in order just that there should be shalom bayis. So to save the ultimate shalom bayis of kol olam kulay, for sure it's mutter. So Achitofel announces, yes, it's mutter. So David HaMelech does that. Katav shem achasba. He throws it into the tahon. And sure enough, Nachat v'kama duchte. So in the other places, the Gemara says over the whole Maisa that he went ahead and he did the Chamesh Rishiram Alas. Here we're only interested in the element of the curse that he said, whoever doesn't say, and therefore Achitofel was not Sedek HaVachomer, and he said, fine. But what happened, despite the fact that Achitofel was careful to actually say the answer, so it's basically he didn't really curse him, but nonetheless, after this story of the rebellion, where Achitofel's eitza to go get David HaMelech today, as he was running away and was in extremis, Achitofel ra'a ki lo ne'asta atzato, so when he saw that they weren't listening to him, and that was all the tefillah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that David HaMelech gave, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save him from that, says Achitofel. So to him, to Achitofel, because of the clarity of how he understood exactly Achachamin of Barosho, was like the Gemara says, it's like asking Nurim Vitumim. He understood that there was no possibility any longer of the rebellion succeeding and that he was going to be killed as a married by Malchus. So he went, Vayachposh et Achamor, Vayakom Vayelech El Bito El Iro, Vayetzav El Bito Vayechanek. So he gave his last will and testament, and he went, and he hung himself. So you see that the actual words of David HaMelech Yechanek became true, even though he didn't deserve it in the sense of he didn't put himself in the position of being someone who didn't say, and that was the only way that it was supposed to be a curse. You see, it was a curse anyway. Omer Rabbi Abu, indeed, even if it's a beferish condition, kilolat chacham Afilo al Tanai Hiba, Minala, from Eli. Because Eli said to Shmuel, so remember Shmuel had this terrible nevius about how it is that Eli's children are going to die and all the terrible things that are going to happen, the destruction of Mishkan Shiloh and so on. So Eli says, Ko yaaseh lecha Elohim v'cho Yosef, im tichached mimeni davar. So he says to Shmuel, if you don't tell me every last detail of that dream, the Kadosh Baruch Hu should do to you what happened to me. And so because of that, Shmuel tells him everything. Now that means it was all conditional. The curse was all conditional on his not telling him the dream. And he did. So even though it says, v'yaged l'Shmuel et kol advarim, Shmuel actually told him every last bit. V'lo kiched mimenu, he didn't keep one thing from him. Nonetheless, what happened to Shmuel? The same thing that happened to Eli. The whole story of Eli and this and the terrible dream was because of the fact that lo hochu banav pidrachav by Eli. That was the story, which of course we don't take it literally, but that his children were shachvu et anashim, and they really meant that they delayed the karbanos. But it says about Shmuel the same thing. Lo hochu banav pidrachav. So the same thing that happens to Eli, here it says, Vayitach rehabatza, Vayikushochad, Vayatu mishpat, which again is an incredible stripping down in the worst possible ways of what it was that his children had done. All the Gemara says all it meant was that they no longer went around as a circuit court, and instead they insisted that people come to them, and they wanted to have these institutions and to be marbe the schar for the sofrim, the secretaries. You want a new computer, you know how it is. So, and because of that, it's as if vayatu mishpat, and they wanted shochad. And same thing was true of Hophni and Pinchas, that says these awful things about them, because they, in a sense, allowed themselves to utilize their positions to get more of the Matanais and so on, earlier the Matanais. And this was not supposed to be happening if Shmuel had done what Eli insisted he needs to do, and he did. Aval Pikein. So you see that a klala, if it comes from a Talmud Chacham, even if it's not deserved, and even if it's beferish, conditional, it can still be chal. So you can't ask a question if somebody is going to be mispalel, that someone should die. We don't have to search very far to find reasons for why it is that the mothers would be very, very concerned indeed. Omer of Yudah, Merav, same thing is true about a nidui. Nidui, al-tanai, tzarich hafara. We have the most ancient confirmation of the idea that if someone was put into nidui, so a bezdin or an adam gadol, put someone into cherem because of the way that he acted, it still, even if it was conditional, it still has to be cancelled. Hafara. We learned that out from Yehuda. Now, Yehuda put himself into nidui, but only conditionally, right? He said to Yaakov Avinu, Im lo havayotiv elecha, then v'chatati lecha kol hayamim, if I don't bring Binyamin back to you, then I'm going to be in a state forever of being in active chet to you, which is the whole meaning of nidui. And it was only on condition that he didn't bring Binyamin back. Now, he did. He did a wonderful job of bringing Binyamin back, and since he restored everything. And therefore, there should be no impact of his nidui. And yet, we see that Omer Shmuel bar Nachmini, Amar Rabbi Yonatan, Mai Dechtiv, what is it that we have when Moshe Rabbeinu was giving in Zot HaBracha all of the brachas to the various Shvatim? So he says, Yechiru Vein Va'al Yamod, V'zot LeYehuda. What exactly is the connection of Zot Yehuda as if it's coming out of Ruvain? V'zot LeYehuda, it's two different Shvatim. And the Maisa was like this. Kol Otan Arba'im Shana, Shayu Yisrael Bamidbar, Atzmotav Shayuda Yu Megugalim Be'aron. So what happened was that all of the Shvatim, remember, were brought into the Midbar by Bnei Yisrael, not only Yosef HaTzadik, but all of them. It was Moshe Rabbeinu, it was Isaac, especially in Atzmas Yosef, because he was the continuation of the Pakod Yivkod, which was the time that Yosef had been mitzaveh the brothers to be mala his Atzmas to Eretz Yisrael. So He was the one that called himself Atzamot, and the Gemara explains the reason for this was because of the fact that he was Noig Barabonos. But meanwhile, we see that all of the Shvatim that were brought up together with his body, they're all referred to as Atzamos here, in the sense that there were skeletons, as if skeletons, in these coffins, because they would carry the Mita, the Orin, of Yehuda, and they could hear that there were bones that were rolling inside of the Mita, which was not Berach Kavod at all, and didn't happen to any of the other Shvatim. And the reason for this was because of this Nidui. Ad Shamad Meshe Ubikesh Alav Rachamim. That's why he said Vizot Yehuda, meaning he said Ribono Shel Olam, Mi Garam L'Reuven Shiyodeh. Who was the one that brought Reuven to go and to be made the Rabim, that it was inappropriate what he had done? Again, another example of where the Torah goes all the way down to the most underlying Freudian elements of what a person does and claims that that's what he did, even though Chas V'Shalom, he didn't really do that. But because there were those elements, same with the Chofni V'Pinchas. It's an incredible analysis that the Gemara has, that on a Freudian level, what Chofni and Pinchas were doing by controlling the time that these women would be able to go and to be with their own husbands, they wouldn't confirm, they didn't do the hakarava that would have allowed them to be Taheres and go home. Oh, anyway, Taheres with their husband. The point is they had to wait until they finished bringing the karbanas after a Leda. So they weren't at home. They weren't able to sleep with their husbands. Now, the fact that they were delayed in that gave Chofni and Pinchas control over their sexual lives. So the Gemara considers that to be the equivalent of sleeping with them. God help us. So why is that? Because there's some aspect of a Freudian sexual thrill in controlling someone else's intimacy. So if that's the case, same thing was true over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu considered what it was that Reuven did, which on the surface, when he messed up the bed in order to show that it wasn't right, that it should be, it's a bizoyan for his mother, that just because Rachel dies, so now Rachel's shivcha should come before his mother. So he was very upset. But the Torah writes it as if he actually slept with Yaakov's wife, Hashem Yerachim, as if Reuven is shayach to such a thing. But it's the same thing that we saw with Shmuel, the Maisa, with Shmuel, the Maisa, with Chofni and Pinchas, and so on. Okay? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ribono Shel Olam, actually, after Reuven heard that Yehuda did not attempt to claim that he wasn't the one who had impregnated Tamar, so he himself also went and he was made a barabim, that he was the one that had acted inappropriately and so on. So it was all Yehuda that was the source of that tshuva barabim. And Reuven is perfectly okay, and for some reason, Vizot Yehuda, this is the way that Yehuda was the whole mocker of the Hodah of Reuven. It doesn't make sense. So that's the pshat. That Yechi Reuven v'al yamod. So he's as if he's still alive. Vizot Yehuda. So we expect more for Yehuda. And then, so fine. So at that moment, in a chinami, he actually became at peace because of Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda. We should listen to what it is that Yehuda had said, and all Ivrei Lishafa. So at that moment, the bones stopped rolling around, and he became a complete remains. But because of the fact that he had put himself into Nidui, even though it was Al Tanai, so he was not allowed into the Yeshiva Shomal, because he was in Nidui. You can't allow someone into Yeshiva who was in the Nidui. So Moshe Rabbeinu felt he had to continue davening for him. To say, "Vel amo to Vienna, bring him into his people, into the Talmidei Chachamim that are in the Yeshiva Shomala." So they did. So Laveka Yada Labishkal Mitrach Bishmaitze Barei Rabbanan. Even though he was there, he wasn't really able to get into the arguments in the Yeshiva Shomala. He wasn't on the correct madriga. Because of that, Moshe Davin continued to give him the bracha Yadav Ravlo, give him immense power. And let him fight for, let his hands fight for him. So he should be able to be part of Milchamta Shotera. That was accepted at that moment, but still, lo havayada lefaruke kushya. He was not able to answer the questions that, this is a little bit of a different gear, so you remember that in the other places where we had this exact sugya, it says, that his opinion, what didn't end up being the correct halacha. Here it says he didn't know how to actually answer the way that they had brought rayas against him, which is a little bit problematic, because he said before that he couldn't do the argument, mashma, that meant that he could be mefarek kushya when that was accepted. Okay, but whatever. Again, our ikar point over here is just to show that the nidui was still in effect, and that Moshe Rabbeinu had to pray the ezer mitzarav tiyeh. So even though he made, obviously for himself, a very clear condition, if I don't bring Binyamin back, and he did, didn't help him. And having uttered those words, v'chatatzi l'char kol hayamim, those words were chal. Getting back to the Mishnah, so we have three or four, depending on Rav Yehuda, different types of Kohanim Gedolim that in their death are able to be Machzir a Rotzeach. Now, does that mean in their joint, is this jointly or severally? So are we talking about all of the Kohanim Gedolim? Let's say there was a Mashruach Sha'avar. So would he need to die at the same time? Also, and the Mashruach Mochama, Alibi the Rav Yehuda, so that whatever individual has a din of a Kohen Gadol in this Mishnah, as long as one of them is still alive, then he wouldn't go back from the Ir Miklat or any of them. How exactly do we understand the Mishnah? Tashma, Nigmar Dino, Belo Kohen Gadol, Eno Yotzei Misham Lo'olam. The next Mishnah says that if at the time of the Gemar Din of the Rotzeach, there was no Kohen Gadol, so then he'll never get out of this Ir Miklat. There's no way for him to be Yotzi. Now, if you're going to tell me that this would mean severally, so then Im Ita, I mean, even if there wasn't a Kohen Gadol, I mean, there might still be a Kohen Mashuach Muhammad, so why couldn't he go out with the death of the Mashuach Muhammad? Or why couldn't he go out with the death of the Mashuach Sha'avar, who had taken the place temporarily on Yom Kippur of the one of the Kohanim? So apparently, it would need to mean that all three of them died. No, I mean, it's very possible that there is no other one. I mean, what, every time that a Kohen Gadol dies, there's necessarily a Kohen Mashuach Muhammad that was there. There was a Mashuach Sha'avar that was there. So you certainly cannot prove it from this vision. And now, what I'm going to do, Rabos, I want to learn, in a sense, as little as possible so that we can learn tonight. Remember, we're meeting again tonight, because we put things off in order to have our chaverim in Chutz La'aretz join us. So really, I would like to stop here, but it's not really the daf. So let's do the Mishnah. I'll be chozer on the Mishnah quickly tonight also. Okay. So that gives us a moment to hear from Sir Richard, who today has no fear of the Mashuach Sha'avar, you know, because he's in Chutz La'aretz. So I don't know what kind of deal we're going to get from Sir Richard today, but let's hope for the best. Not you. I said the one that would have taken your place, which is what the coin, Sha'avar, not Chas V'Shalom.
I'm still groggy this morning, sorry.
Not bad for not having Doc's hypodermic above you. That's quite impressive. Misha Nigmar Dino Meit Kohen Gadol. Let's say before the guy was ever, even the murderer, was even sent to the Ir Miklat, the Kohen Gadol died. So then he isn't sent to the Ir Miklat at all. The Gemara will discuss why this is so. So, how about if Achelo Nigmar Dino Meit Kohen Gadol? But how about if the Kohen Gadol died before the Gemar Din? And then they appointed a new Kohen Gadol, Umino Acher Tachtav, and then Nigmar Dino. So what happens? Because, I mean, this new Kohen Gadol was not the Kohen Gadol at the time that the murder was committed, right? And we said that, well, that Kohen Gadol's death actually is appropriate for allowing this murderer out, because he should have davened that the accident should never have taken place. But, I mean, in this case, if he was only appointed after this person had already killed, so then, is he also considered to be a Kohen Gadol whose death would allow the Chazora of the Rotzeach? Yes, said the Mishnah. The Gemara's going to ask why. But he's Chuzer b'mitato shel sheni. In this case, when the new Kohen Gadol dies, that is going to release this Rotzeach. But how about if Nigmar Dino below Kohen Gadol, so there was no Kohen Gadol there at the time of the Gemar Din, or, for that matter, how about if this murderer had murdered the Kohen Gadol and they hadn't appointed another? Or what if he is the Kohen Gadol? What if the Kohen Gadol killed someone? Then, Eino Yotze Misham Lo'olam. He never is Yotze from the Ir Miklat, ever. Eino Yotze Lo La'edut Mitzvah, for no reason whatsoever can he leave that city. Doesn't matter if he's the only person who saw the new moon. He cannot come to be made to best and he saw that new moon. He can't come to give testimony in a multi-billion-dollar case. Lo la'edus mammon, lo la'edus nefashos. So even though we need him to save someone from Misa, he's not allowed to go out. V'afilu Yisrael tzrichimo. Even if it's an emergency, the whole country needs him. Even if he's the Sartz Vayisrael Kiyoev Ben Tsruya, this guy has been the most successful Ramatkal. He's in charge of the entire army, like Yoav. Doesn't matter. Hino Yotze Misham Lo'olam. It's a very, very powerful Mishnah. Shenemar Asher Nas Shama. Shama, what do we need Shama for? To tell me that's where he is. Shamte dirato, that's where he will live the rest of his life. Shamte mitato, that's where he's going to die. Shamte kvurato, that's where he's going to be buried. This is like a very, very powerful Mishnah. I really feel on a personal level that every time I learned this Mishnah, it made such a deep impression on me that it really changed me deeply. Because a person learns from this Mishnah, nobody is indispensable for anything. Doesn't matter how important you think you are. This is what you are. You're like everybody else. You're going to sit there, and you're going to die there, and you're going to be buried there, and that's the end. It's like, whoa. You know, there's always options, people feel. You know, the only place there's no options is death. But this mission is talking about Golas, which is Mamish, Bahai Alma. No options. It's unbelievable. The same way that being inside of the city is protects him from the Gerul Adam, the Tchum itself, which is based on the D'Oraisa, remember, of giving an actual Tchum of 2,000 Amos to the Levim, which this is all part of the parsha of giving over the Arei Levim, which include the Shesh Arei Miklat and the Arboim Vishtayim Arei Levim. So that's another 2,000 Amos. If he is anywhere within that area, he cannot be killed by the Goyal Hadam. But the Rotzeach Sheyatzach Chutz L'Tchum, once he walks beyond the Tchum, if the Goyal Hadam finds him, so according to Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, the Goyal Hadam actually has a mitzvah to kill this guy, and anybody else who kills him is allowed to. Rabbi Akiva Omer, no, there's no mitzvah. It's just that he's allowed to kill him. Rishut biyad goel adam, but anybody else who kills him is actually, our girsa is chayavim alav. However, I must tell you, every other place that we find this Mishnah, and in most of the Rishonim, the girsa is ein chayavim alav. So that we have three levels. We have a mitzvah to kill, we have a rishus to kill, and we have that if a person killed but he had no rishus, that this person, the rotzeach, outside of the Yermiklat, is considered to be dead men walking. And therefore, if you killed him, you wouldn't be chayef. But that doesn't mean that you have a rishus to kill him. So these were different targets. So why is it, why do we take for granted if the Kohen Gadol dies before the guy ever got into the Yermiklat, but it was after the Gemar Din that he was chayef, that he would not go to Golas at all? What's the logic behind that? Is there a mocker in the Torah? Omar Abai, you don't need a mocker. It's a kal v'chomer. If somebody who was already in the Ir Miklat would leave the Ir Miklat because the Kohen Gadol died, so if he didn't get to the Ir Miklat, isn't it obvious that he shouldn't go into the Ir Miklat? Because, I mean, even if he were there, he would have left. Well, I mean, that doesn't make absolute sense, does it? I mean, maybe the point is that once he was in the Ir Miklat, so then he had the kapora of the actual Irmiklat, that he was in Galut, and the Galut is Mechaper. We saw that before, remember, where the Gemara said that certain things are so chomer that they're not roi for the Kapora of Golos. Obviously, Golos is a Kapora. So if he had already gone into Golos, fine. So then he had the Kapora, but if he didn't go into Golos, so maybe he can't get out. Because the Kohen Gadol, I mean, could only work in conjunction with his having the Kapora of the Golos, no? No, that's not true. Because, mire, Golos Gomechapra, is it really that when the death of the Kohen Gadol comes, it's based on the Kapora of the Golos? I mean, the fact is that there's no real relationship between them. Let's say the guy had been in the Irmiklat for exactly 30 seconds before the Kohen Gadol dies. Is there any question at all that he would be Yotze? Of course he would be Yotze. So what are you going to say, that those 30 seconds, they were the Kapora that allowed him to be Yotze? Obviously, the element that allows the Yetzia is the death of the Kohen, per se. Otherwise, it would be dependent on a certain level of Kapora in the Irmiklat, right? And therefore, it's not the Galut that is Mechaper in the way that allows him out of the Irmiklat. It's Dafka the Mitat Kohen that is the Kapora that allows that. Okay, then we said that if, before the Gmar Din, they went ahead and they made another Kohen Gadol, and then there was a Gemar Din. So now the second, the replacement Kohen Gadol, is the one whose death is Marzir the Rotzeach. I mean, that's sort of a chiddush. I mean, he wasn't even there at the time of the murder. How do we know that this is true? Omer of Kahana, the Omer Kro, the Yashavba ad Mota Kohen Gadol, Asher Mashachoto b'Shemen HaKodesh. What do you mean Asher Mashachoto? Asher Nimshach, you mean? Or Asher Moshchuoto? Asher Moshachoto sounds like what the murderer was the one who had done the Mashiach for the Kohen Gadol. What kind of language is that? Ella, what it must mean is Asher Moshachoto, the one, he indeed is the one that defines who that Kohen Gadol is that is going to mean his release upon his death. So it's referring to Asher Moshachoto in his time after he became the Ratzayach. Then there was the Mashiach. That's what it must mean. But I don't understand. What in the world is that Kohen Gadol? How does he have anything to do with the murder? I mean, he wasn't Kohen Gadol at the time of the murder. I understand we could have said about the Kohen Gadol who was actually there. Like we said, he wasn't mispalo properly. And after all, Eliyahu HaNavi didn't want to talk to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi if somebody was eaten by a lion in his neighborhood. So sort of blame him, the Kohen Gadol, for not doing enough to protect the Tzibur from this murder. But, I mean, this guy, the new Kohen Gadol, I don't know, he wasn't around. I mean, he wasn't the Kohen Gadol. And if that's the case, my Avi Leila Mevad, he couldn't have done anything, so he's unrelated to the murder, and therefore, why is his death in any way nogea the person who is the murderer, that the murderer should go out because he dies? It's not his fault. Yes, it is, says the Gemara. This is an amazing Kiddush. It's his fault because Kohen Gadol could have been mispalel that this murderer should end up being putter from Golos in Besdin. So ayalo levakesh rachamim sheyigmor dino lezechut velo bekesh. So if we actually are Moshiach and appoint him after the Gemara Din in Achinami, then it doesn't have any impact. But since over here, there is a way that he could have avoided this person's need to go into Golos, in his death, that person is Yotze Migolos. Now, obviously, this is most remarkable. Because, I mean, what is that supposed to mean? That the Kohen Gadol should have davened that the Besdin should make a mistake? I mean, like, what? I understand. Isn't the Besdin supposed to be Motze the Din Lamito? So if they were Motze the Din Lamito, I mean, like, this is bad? This is something that should have been avoided? So, I mean, we see from here an incredible insight into the nature of the relationship of how it is that Mishpat in Olam Hazeh is actually an expression of an overall conglomeration of issues that create the impressions within the mind of the Dayanim, but we never talk about a din la'amito in an absolute sense. Even in Olam HaZeh, we have a concept of ze dayan adan din emet le'amito. Well, emet l'amito. So that means he did his best to find out if the Edim were lying and so on. But that's an indication of the relativity of emet, be'olam hazeh, in the Besdin Shalmata. And this is the most amazing expression of that idea, that the concept of how a Besdin is going to perceive the din and paskin the din is still up for grabs. And a tefillah could have, in fact, changed it. And you can determine whether it was waves or particles, as long as that's done before. Omer Abaye, Naktinan, we have the Kabbalah that Nigmar Dino Umit, if he died before he even got to the Ir Miklat, Molichin et Atzmotav L'Sham, they take his body there to be buried, Dechtiv L'Shuv L'Shevet Ba'aretz Ad Mota Kohen. So where is their yeshiva ba'aretz? That is referred to as yeshiva ba'aretz aviyom ezuk fura. That is a very important limud, because it also teaches us that the chiyav to be in the Ir Miklat is not simply in order to avoid the Gaal Adam's killing him, because he's already dead. And nonetheless, we're taking him to the Ir Miklat. So as far as the question about, is it that you have to actually be in the Ir Miklat, or is it an option? If you want to be protected from the Kohen God, from the Gaal Adam, you go to the Ir Miklat. If you figure nobody would dare attack you anyway, and you're ready to risk it, then you don't have a chiyuv to be in the Ir Miklat. But here we see that even the burial of the person has to be in the Ir Miklat, despite the fact that he never died there. Tana. We have another din if he died in the Ir Miklat. So mate, if he dies before the Kohen Gadol dies, then molichin et atzmotav al kivrei avotav. After the Kohen Gadol dies, could be many years later, we take the remains of the Rotzeach and we bring him back to the family plot that he came from. Dechtiv yashuv ha-Rotzeach el eretz achuzato. It uses the same lashon of Ad mota kohen gadol v'achare mota kohen gadol yashuv ha-Rotzeach el eretz achuzato. So what is the yashuv to the eretz? Same point. Ezo yeshiva shibe eretz achuzato. Ave omer zu kvura. So that means that we must re-inter him. This is a fascinating halacha. That means that the Torah clearly allows re-entering. That's also not so poshut. Over here, that becomes a mitzvah. So according to the Gra, this is the mocker of the entire idea that throughout the Gemara, we take for granted that we will re-enter a mace and that it's lichvodai to be able to bring him to Givrei Aveza. Okay, back to the Mishnah. Nigmar dino. So we said that if there was no Kohen Gadol, then the din is that he never gets out. But let me ask you something. How about if there was a Kohen Gadol, he was there for the murder, he was there for the Gemar din, and guess what? We discover that that Kohen was actually not a Kohen. He was posel as a Kohen. He was a Ben Gerusha or Ben Chalutza. What happens? Is that the equivalent of there not having been a Kohen? Or is that the equivalent of the Kohen dying? So, Pligibo Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Yitzchak Mavcha, Chad Omer Meita Kohuna. One says we look at it as if he died. And therefore, he's potter. He doesn't have to go to Ir Miklat. Whereas Chad Omer, no. It turns out that there never was a Kohen. But la Kohuna. And the Kohuna didn't exist. And we made a mistake in thinking it exists. And Lechora, this is the same as the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. What is that machlokas? Because in Masechet Trumot, we learn that in the Mishnah, Haya Omer u'makriv al gabei ha-mizbeach v'no dashu ben grusho ben chalutza. Suppose a Kohen is standing on the Mizbeach and he's bringing korbonas. And suddenly somebody comes forth with edus that he isn't even a kosher Kohen. So Rabbi Eliezer, Omer kol korbonot she'ikriv psulim, anything that he ever was makriv to date, apostle. And Rabbi Yoshua says, no, up until to date, when we found out that he's a Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza, all of his korbanos are actually kosher. So it seems to be the same machlokas. If you hold that it's as if the Kohen died, so he says essentially what Rabbi Yoshua is saying, that up until this point, we look at it as if he was a Kohen, even though we know that retroactively, he was all along a Ben-Grusha Ben-Chalutza. It doesn't matter. According to Rabbi Yeshua, it affects him only from this point forward. And therefore, it's as if he died. Whereas the Man Yomer Batla, the one who says there never was a Kohen Gadol, he's going a Libet Rabbi Eliezer, who says that all of the Korbanos retroactively are Pasul, which is precisely this Machlokas, no? No, says the Gemara, not necessarily at all. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it could be everybody agrees, there's nothing to say. Of course, it's Batla the Kohuna. I mean, that's for sure. Because he says that there's nothing about him that was kosher for the Kohuna. Kipligi, the Machlokas is Aliba the Rabbi Yoshua. And there, both Rabbi and Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha can fit in with Rabbi Yoshua. How is that? So if you say Mesa, okay, that is exactly what Rabbi Yoshua seems to be saying. He was a good Kohen up until now, and for this point forward, he's no longer a Kohen. So the Kohen aspect of him has died. But Mandion Bar Batla, he says, no, I believe Rabbi Yoshua would agree with me. Because the only thing that Rabbi Yoshua was referring to was specifically the korbanos that he was bringing. So ad kan lo kam Rabbi Yoshua hatam, because there's a special pasuk. Because in the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gives Levi, what does it say? Borech Adonai chelo ufo'al yadav tirtzeh. That means Hashem should be mevorech even chelo. That means even the chulin of his, even the chalolim of his, and any korbanos that he brings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept. So that's a special pasuk that is makshir, the korbanos of afilu chalolim shabbat. Yes, but that's a special din of korbanos. Mashenkin over here, vis-a-vis the halacha of Yetzia from the Ir Miklat, this Mandi Omer holds that even Rabbi Yeshua would be made, and that has nothing to do with the question of the korbanos, and therefore, apparently, the machlokas between Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha and Rabbi Ami is not necessarily connected at all to the machlokas of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. It's all within the shita of Rabbi Yeshua. Now, this has other implications, gentlemen, because what happens when that Kohen is sued by all of the daddies that give the pidyon haben over the past 50 years, and this guy owes millions of dollars for all of the money that he took, which wasn't kosher for the pidyon haben. Oh my gosh. Okay, so there's a lot of questions that come up because of this ex post facto discovery that he is a Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza.